Blog Talk Radio.
Quite an interesting morning. For those of you that are listening live, I had a complete computer meltdown this morning, which I don't think I've had yet in the 1+ years we've been doing the show. And I have Robbie Holtz on the phone right now. Hi, Robbie. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can, Cliff. Those are fun, aren't they?
I don't like them. I don't like them. And as somebody who's deeply spiritual, my guidance, whoever they are, is there's some kind of lesson in this. but I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it. But listen, I want to talk a little bit, and then I'm going to bring you forward. I'm calling to you today from, you're in Seattle, right?
Right.
You're in Seattle. Fantastic. I think we're going to skip the formalities and jump right in, right into it.
Sure.
I think that was supposed to be it. I think that it's like, Cliff, you don't need to talk about anything else other than Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening. So let me just preface this program today. Those of you who follow Earth Ancients, Startling New Discoveries from Our Planet's Distant Past, know that a lot of the content, a lot of the guests that I have are people speaking on known and unknown civilizations of the earth. And many times we'll have people on who are researching Atlantis or colonies on off-world places like Cydonia, Mars, and their connection to earth, be it through pre-dynastic Egyptians, so forth and so on. But about 20 years ago, well, I want to say about 30 years ago, which is going to age me and pretty much date my age, I discovered a healing modality called Reiki. And Reiki came to us via Japan. It had its origins in Tibet. And I became a practitioner. And what that meant was is that I could actually work with people, and I worked in a healing community. And this is in the mid to late 80s. And we would work on people with symptoms, chronic fatigue, some people had what they called at that time fibromyalgia. They didn't have that name. It was just constant pain. And we even had people who had cancer, AIDS, things like that. It was in the San Francisco Bay Area, so there were a wide variety of healing techniques. And I became fascinated because the technique basically allowed you to become a channel. You weren't actually healing anybody. You were allowing them to heal themselves. And I've, to this day, I still use Reiki occasionally on friends, on animals, and on myself. But it was a very interesting introduction. into a healing modality that was non-traditional, that basically you accepted into your life as a method to bring relief to people suffering from a variety of modalities. And you never say, you never said, oh, I'm healing you. It's mostly that you're giving them an experience for them to take with them, and if they felt better, fantastic. And that leads us to today's guest. Today my guest is Robbie Holtz, who wrote a book on it's called Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening. And the reason I brought this book, not only because it touches upon a very old culture in the outback of Australia, an Aborigine culture, but Robbie's husband, Gary Holtz, actually went to the outback seeking a remedy for his debilitating illness. He had MS. But this book actually talks about Robbie's story, Robbie Holtz, the wife of Gary Holtz, who had her own awakening. And so Robbie is a international speaker and holistic wellness consultant. Her late husband, Gary Holtz, was a aerospace business owner, but she co-authored another book called Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, which I touched a little bit upon, but I read a little bit about, and it's a fascinating look at his journey. She's calling us today, as I mentioned, from Seattle, and it's co-written by Christian Howard, who's a collaborative writer. Welcome to the program, Robbie.
Well, thanks, Cliff. I'm glad to be here.
I'm sorry for the
delay. There for a minute.
I don't know. This is like one of those strange occurrences. Maybe I'll get some intuition as to why it was delayed for some reason. Maybe, I don't know. I can't say. This book is really a fascinating look at your own journey and your healing. You had a number of conditions. I think the worst was the hepatitis C that you received, that you got after a blood transfusion during the birth of your child. And of course, Gary was, your husband was the conduit to your healing. But can you take us back a little bit and tell us a little bit about what the Aboriginal healing philosophy and method is? I mean, it's said to be 50,000 years old. I mean, how do they tell you it's 50,000 years old? I mean, because that's a long time to be in one place or having one single focused culture.
Right, and I think that we know it's actually older than that. It's at least 60,000 years old, which is probably one of the oldest continuous cultures on the planet. I think it actually is the oldest continuous culture. But they know that through rock art. They've been able to test it, and they know that it's at least 60,000 years old. But they suspect it's actually much, much older. So this is, you know, and I think that they're a very awakened, enlightened well, and I'm talking specifically about the remote Aboriginals in Australia. This outback is just vast. It's huge. And they're just safeguarded and tucked away. I mean, it's like as big as the United States. And it's pretty easy for them to get totally safeguarded from civilization, so to speak. And they have kept this information, this wisdom, passed on from word of mouth through all these generations. And it's beautiful stuff, and I've been teaching it for quite a while, and the more I live what they have been teaching us, the better my life gets. It really is, to me, the answer for this new earth, so to speak, or for us to be able to live a better life, a more awakened, conscious life. Their wisdom is really, they're doing it. And so they have remarkable healing gifts. That's why my late husband ended up in the outback. He was a physicist and an inventor, but absolutely desperate for answers to stay alive because the doctors told him he had about 2 years to live. He actually had about 6 months. He'd been a quadriplegic for at least 7 years. He'd been dealing with MS for, I think, about 20 years, and his body was just starting to shut down. I mean, the organs weren't getting what they needed. And so as Secrets of Aboriginal Healing describes, he met a naturopathic physician from Australia who knew of the Aboriginals, the remote ones, and said, well, they're pretty remarkable in their healing gifts, and I happen to know how to get hold of them. And so when he contacted them, you know, they knew he was coming. They'd already spent 4 months preparing for him, even though he just discovered about them the night before. And they're very tuned in, tapped into the grid. And one of their tribesmen had an apartment in Brisbane because he had children in the city, but he would also come back into this remote village. So none of the villagers had ever experienced civilization before. And they brought in a woman who was part English, part Aboriginal, to teach their healing techniques to him, because the big guy, which is a genderless term for what we might call divine source, had told them they were to give their healing techniques to this man. He would be coming, and he had the ability to take it out into the world because we really needed it. I think that one of the best things the Aboriginals, Aboriginal people have taught me is how, you know, here, especially in the United States, we tend to just fix the physical and address the symptoms. And the Aboriginal people will tell you that it's about a balance of the body, mind, and spirit, and that you've really got to get to that emotional core, the emotional root. If you don't get to that emotional root, it's like picking the top of a dandelion. It's going to come right back again. So even though I had a blood transfusion, you know, how could you say, well, what's the emotional root to that? Well, trust me, there was. And there was a spiritual component as well. I needed to go through those experiences of almost dying twice, once from the hepatitis and then the second time from the experimental treatment they put me on, so that I could learn to heal myself, which I've totally healed, which Western medicine said at the time that there was no cure for hepatitis, and I have been tested for years and have healed it, so that I could teach other people that they have the ability to heal. The body wants to heal. Most of us, it's not part of our soul's journey to be sick. It's just that our bodies are crumbling under the emotional weight of these emotions. They're just so toxic and heavy on the body. So that's one of the things I teach people, is to become aware of which emotions that we're kind of marinating in on a regular basis that are really heavy on the body, and which ones are really going to foster healing much faster. So the Aboriginals taught us 5 simple steps that we put in the book. So it's so funny, Cliff. I'll get people who call me or email me and want to know, how do I get a hold of this tribe? And it's like, well, you don't. They gave us their healing techniques on purpose so that you don't need to go to the outback. It's all laid out in the book through Gary's story. And to be honest, he was a very skeptical scientist. You know, he was only there out of desperation, and totally rocked his world. 10 days later, he was—he had feeling in his body again, which he hadn't had in 7 years, and he clumsily walked down the airplane aisle. It just was a remarkable transformation in many ways, but more than anything, emotionally, he really understood what had gone on and how he had created this. He was such a brilliant man. He learned how to numb himself emotionally until he literally numbed himself physically.
Wow. So he actually, how long was he there for during his healing period in the outback?
It really only 10 days. It was remarkable.
10 days.
Transformation in 10 days, right. And he had
he'd
been a quadriplegic for 7 years, seen the best doctors that he could possibly find. You know, I mean, he was a very highly well-respected physicist, globetrotting, working all over the world. And so he had seen the best medical care Western medicine offered, and they didn't have any answers for him. But the Aboriginal people understood that there's an emotional core to this. You've really got to uproot this, or you can't heal it. And so they not only they taught him their healing techniques, which anybody can do. It's really the mind is a huge part of it. And then they just really helped him understand how this had happened in his life and how to uncreate it, how to create wellness, how he had been
That's
blocking
amazing.
The life force.
Yeah. Can you describe, and this may not be simple to do, but can you describe the Aboriginal healing principles that you've learned and what makes them so unique? I think that would be interesting to hear.
Sure. The first, it's really very simple, and that's the big thing about the Aboriginals. They are about simplicity. It's just the mind that complicates things. So they've really got it down to 5 steps, and I'm really happy to tell those 5 steps to our listeners. The first step is willingness. You've got to find out, are you willing? Because you may not be willing on a subconscious basis. There may be something going on that you're not aware of that you're not really wanting to get better. There could be a secondary gain. So you have to be willing to make changes. You don't have to worry about knowing how to do it, but just simply be willing to make changes. We tend to be resistant to that as humans. The second one is you need to become, and this is really important, aware of why it's here in your life. It's very deliberate, and it's actually a gift in the long run. The fibromyalgia for me and the chronic fatigue syndrome and the hepatitis C, although they were life-threatening and almost killed me, they ended up being the biggest gifts, just as Gary's wheelchair was the biggest gift in his life because it helped us understand things we really weren't focused on. It was those awakenings. Some of us have to really get shaken up. Apparently, I'm a slow learner. I had to get shaken up twice before you start really paying attention to what's going on. So become aware of why is this in your life. The emotions in the body are so connected, you can't separate them. And the Aboriginal people will tell you, you cannot separate the body, mind, spirit. They're all interconnected. And so you've really got to address all three. And if you have, for instance, a lot of grief that you're tending to hold we tend to hold emotions in certain places, and we tend to hold grief in our chest. I mean, if you go through grief, you can feel it. It's just that you can feel this intense grief in your chest area. If you tend to do that on a regular basis and you're not releasing it, that's what's great about Reiki, is it helps release this stuff. But if you're not releasing it and you're doing it on a regular basis, you are blocking the life force. You are actually slowing down that chakra. But more importantly, you're creating a different kind of cell that's really hard on the body. And it can become toxic, and really it's a different cell. And Dr. Emoto's water experiments and what the bleep showed us what those look like. They're just discombobulated. And so before you know it, and if you have like a breast cancer running in your breast cancer or heart disease running in your family, you really want to pay attention to that because you're already kind of vulnerable. So there's a different emotions that create different reactions, and we can get into that if you want to later, because I think they'd love to hear what emotions do create wellness. But the third step that the Aboriginals will do, so that's the second step, is you have to become aware of what's been going on. And if you've created a lot of grief, then you need to know that so that you can uncreate it, rather than just take medicine to relieve the symptoms. The third step is acceptance. You don't have to like it, but it's here for a reason in your life. And I think people tend to get caught up and forget that this is a soul's journey. You're really here because this soul loves coming to this planet. We're etheric spirits, and to be in a physical body is such a gift. And then to be given emotions, they work together to really help you get under things and understand things. And nothing motivates us like pain. Boy, does that get our attention.
Yeah.
So you either change through pain or inspiration. So, it really gets our – it's like, how bad does it have to get before you're willing to change? And then the fourth step is empowerment. Take your power back. Become responsible. If I had listened to what Western medicine knew at the time, back in 85, when they didn't have any – I mean, they didn't have a name for hepatitis C. They called it non-A, non-B, and they certainly didn't have a cure. And they told me that I'd have this the rest of my life. I probably wouldn't have survived another 10 years. It was just the motivation of being alive to survive because my son was too little to remember me, and I wanted to raise him, and I wanted him to have memories. And so that's when I started searching for answers and discovered that there's all kinds of answers beyond Western medicine. So take your power back. And we are tremendously powerful creatures, and that mind is a huge factor. If you don't think you're going to get better, chances are you won't. Pretty good chances you won't. So then the fifth step is focus. really, really focus on what you want, not what you don't want. It's not about denial, Cliff, or pushing it down, but just really paying attention to what you want. There was that saying that Mother Teresa would never attend anti-war rally, but only pro-peace, because she never wanted to give any energy to the war. And it's the same thing here. Where you're placing your focus and a lot of energy is what you're creating. So if you're constantly focusing on your pain, guess what? You're creating more pain. Rather than focusing on my body is creating vibrant cells right now. That there's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do they have affirmations for healing these Aboriginals?
Well, you know, they didn't. And I know that when they were with Gary, they were using probably different ways of healing than they would if he was an Aboriginal tribes person. Because we're in Western medicine, you know, civilized tribes operate differently. And we don't even, like, for instance, they had spent 4 months trying to come up with metaphors so that he would understand. They don't have words like my. They don't have possessives in their culture. They don't, it's all one. How fascinating is that? So they don't, they didn't use metaphor, or they didn't use affirmations. And I think metaphors or affirmations are fine as long as you believe it. If you don't believe it, I don't know that it's doing a lot of good. You really want to start getting that feeling that this is coming to me now. It's happening now. So if affirmations can get you there, fabulous, do them. But what they did do with Gary, which was quite interesting, which they would not have done if he was an Aboriginal person, they wrote on a piece of paper and put it on his bare chest things that they wanted him to subconsciously retain. For instance, they would write, my body no longer needs multiple sclerosis. My body creates vibrant, healthy cells. And they would write that on a paper and never let him see it because they didn't want his mind to sabotage it. They'd put it on his bare chest. And I know that when Gary came back from the outback, he started doing that. He came back and got a degree and became a doctor of immunology and practiced what they had taught him and was initially using that, where he would put a piece of paper on people's underneath their shirts. Now, I know that we had an old psychiatrist come to us years ago for assistance, and he said, oh, years ago we used to put books under our pillows or our mattresses, and that's where the term sleep on it came from, that people would sleep on it and the subconscious would integrate that. So
that's amazing.
Did
you complete the principles? I didn't want to interrupt you. Those principles were fascinating. I think you were, I forget where you we left
I
off
was, I did you, I, there were five of them and I gave you all five.
Oh,
the willingness,
oh perfect,
the awareness, acceptance, and empowerment and focus. And they would
focus
go into a lot more detail in the Aboriginal Secrets of Aboriginal Healing.
Okay. One of the things that I find amazing about this simplistic form is a few years ago, actually many decades ago, a woman named Louise Hay wrote a book called You Can Heal Your Life. And it's a very simple book. She actually healed herself from, I think it was breast cancer. And in the book, she gives each illness, she describes each illness, and gives it a theme, and then kind of gives a little affirmation or talk that addresses the illness and brings it into focus, which I think has helped a lot of people. Would you say the Aborigines were focusing on Gary's MS and helped identify it, and then that's how they released it? Or how does Gary describe how it was released from his body? Because that's a pretty significant illness to have wiped clean.
Well, and thank you for bringing up Louise Hay's book, Heal Your Life. That I would totally agree with. It's so interesting, Cliff. People, I do consultations all the time, just like 1 hour with people for them to understand what the emotional core is. And they can tell me their physical problems. And without telling me their emotional problems, I can go to Louise Hay's book, look up diabetes or whatever, and then find out from them the emotional stuff. It is so textbook. It's so absolutely right on. Because we tend to, so it's amazing how it's always right on. And yes, I agree. Use the affirmations. It's a good guidance. It's a good direction on where you're lacking, where you're out of balance. And so that's those affirmations can be good at getting you back into awareness and balance. So with that, Cliff, I have forgotten your original question. How's that?
The question would be, Aborigine have an understanding for a set group of illnesses, specific
oh,
each
that's
one?
Right. You asked how, yeah, you asked how they
yeah.
released it. Well, okay, so there, I mean, these are, we're trying to sum up in just an answer or two. What was interesting is, so Gary and the Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening describes this. He was working all day with a healer. They had brought in a woman who was part English, part Aboriginal, so that she could communicate to him. Because the Aboriginal people in the outback are telepathic. And he didn't understand that at first. Eventually, he started to understand it. But she needed to come and speak English to him. So he would work with her all day. And what she was doing was she was getting to the emotional core of what had started this in the first place. And she kept going back and back until finding the emotional core was that he came from a very abusive alcoholic father who used to beat him on a regular basis. And he had this genius mind of his, and he got so good at emotionally numbing himself to what was going on that he just literally numbed himself physically. So the Aboriginal people wanted him to have an awareness that this was what the core was. And then, of course, he needed to forgive his father, because you can't really heal something totally if you haven't forgiven everyone involved. And remember, this is a soul's journey. This was necessary for his, what he came here to learn and grow and evolve and do, his mission. So when he realized his father was his best teacher, it was a painful teacher, but it was his best teacher who helped him become who he was, a highly respected physicist, very independent, very successful, because he had to find that from within. He wasn't getting it from without. That sort of helped him shift the emotions, which of course then shifted the reaction to the body and what the body was having to withstand. Now, what was also interesting, Cliff, is that the Aboriginal tribes people, and these are very small tribes in the outback. There's hundreds of them, but they're very small, maybe a dozen or two dozen to a tribe. They were holding the vision of him well and seeing him walking. So this is something we can do for our loved ones, recognizing that everybody has their own journey and they need to go through what they need to go through. But you can hold the vision of them well. And they saw him walking. And so they were sending, you know, we talk about Reiki, this life force coming through, being conduits. The tribe, even though they were outside the hut that he was in, the tribe was sending healing. They were the conduits to send healing to him, which is probably why he was able to do so much in 10 days' time. It was just remarkable.
Wow. That's very interesting. So would you say that, see, but there's two parts to that component. So this tribe is sending Gary energy to be able to stand, to have a healthy body, but he has to accept that energy, doesn't he? And say, okay,
point.
I'm opening myself to this, because that's isn't that how a true healing works, is to actually allow that healing energy to come through the body?
Right, and that comes back to step number one, willingness. You know, are you willing? Are you willing to allow? Are you willing to accept? Are you willing to, you know, I think that it never hurts to send loving energy to anybody. It never hurts. It's up to them whether it sort of rolls off them or it's accepted or not. But it's. I think that's always a beautiful gift to give anybody, including Mother Earth. And so a lot of us, and again, I think that I love how the Aboriginal people have taught me how there's no criticism with any of this. There's no judgment. And so people have blocked energy, you've blocked energy. There's no criticisms or beatings involved. And if you don't want to accept the healing, that's fine. You're just not ready yet. Mm-hmm. You're not ready yet, and it's okay. so everybody's at different places at different levels, and I think that's where we tend to get into trouble and get a lot of emotions that are creating problems in us as we get frustrated with other people's choices and wanting them to get better, wanting them to do things differently, rather than just simply accepting, which is the third step, accepting that everybody's at a different place, learning the way they need to learn it, at a pace they need to learn it, including awakening on the planet. It's happening. Globally, it's happening. It's just happening at different paces, and people don't necessarily see it. And that, I think, is tremendously uplifting, is recognizing we're all waking up. We're just doing it at different paces and different ways, and we're not going to be judging those who aren't quite ready yet. We don't want to harm them if they're not there yet. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. That's tough, though. When you see somebody hurting themselves or living a really tough life, and you're saying to them, you know, in your mind, you don't have to do this.
I know.
But you have to let them go.
That's why I wrote the book. It's like, hey, I've done it the hard way. I can show you how to do it easier. And especially when it's a loved one. But this is where our human mind, and this is where every human gets caught up in it. We have to remember this is a soul's journey, that we come to this beautiful planet because it's free will. And we're given etheric spirits incarnated in a physical body with emotions to help us on this journey as we discover and learn and evolve and grow. I mean, you really, the best way to learn anything is through doing it. And so everybody's learning something different in different ways, and you can watch people and say, whoa, that is a really interesting way to learn that. It doesn't need to be so painful. It doesn't need to be such a struggle. But if they were ready to do it differently, they would be. And if they needed it differently, they'd get it differently. So that's why, you know, I'd see cars on the side of the highway with their hood up, and I'd want to send them the energy of calm or peace or whatever. And then I realized, wait a minute, that's no accident. I love that the Aborigines will tell you that. There's no accidents, no misfits, nothing happens randomly. And that is very clearly designed to teach them something. I don't know what that's about. I can certainly send them love, but it's not for me to send them calm and peace, because that may be exactly what their higher self or soul or spirit guides, whatever, are trying to get their attention, and it just finally got them. And illness is one way to get our attention. It certainly got mine, and I was grateful that it happened when I was 30, so that I actually went down a different path rather than being faced with that challenge at 70 or 80. And that was very deliberate, so that I could learn how to heal myself. But here's the thing I want our listeners to understand. Most of us do not need to go through so much pain and struggle. We're making it so much harder than it needs to be. Yes, some of us deliberately choose to come in as autistic or, you know, with health challenges, but most of us are making it so much harder than it really was ever intended. And our bodies are just crumbling under this emotional weight that we're constantly asking the body. Our here in the West, in the States, we're just so used to anxiety and fear and stress, and it's like the body can't handle that. That's, if you keep going down that road long enough, it's called fibromyalgia for people. And it's interesting that now fibromyalgia is becoming prevalent among teenagers. It's just becoming part of the culture. So that's kind of what I am trying to, not trying, I'm actually very passionate about helping people wake up to how to heal themselves and pay attention to what they're doing to create it in the first place. Gary, when he came back, became an amazing healer. He started developing a lot of the gifts that the Aboriginals people have. He became telepathic. He could see inside the body. He could see the auras. He could see the chakra spinning. This is what the Aboriginal people that are remote have the ability to do. They're much more advanced. And he started developing that, and then he became, like you said earlier, a conduit for tremendous healing energy to come through. Now, we're spending nobody goes to an alternative healer right off the bat. That's usually the last thing on their list. They come when they're stage 4 cancers, or it's AIDS or something that there's just no hope for or answers for. And we were spending so much time dealing with one person with stage 4 cancer, we decided let's go to the other end of that and start teaching people how they're getting sick and how to heal themselves. So that
I love
can
that.
Many more people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really what we started doing, and that's what I continue to do today.
Let me ask you, you said this a couple of times. You said that the Aborigines, and also Gary, when he came back, was telepathic. Would you say that they are at a level of evolution that is in advance of what we are today? Or is it more that they use these untapped areas that we don't even perceive in our consciousness in a different way to create this healing?
I love that question. Thank you. You're so good. You really are. Well, there's two parts to that. I think that the Aboriginals, the remote ones, are living in what I would call a fifth dimensional existence, much more advanced than we are. We're kind of at a third, moving into the fourth, eventually the fifth. They've been there. They're already at the fifth. And that's a beautiful place. And so that's why I want to learn that wisdom. If they're awakened, what are they doing? What are their belief systems? And that's what they have. That's why they have so much to teach us, not just about healing, but everything. And so they're living in high levels of love and service to each other and contentment and acceptance. They're already there. And that's what we're heading to. But what they have done is they'll tell you that we, quote-unquote, civilized tribes, I think that's so fascinating. It's just, when we stopped becoming we used to be telepathic. In fact, most little kids, when up until they're about five, they're very tuned in. They can see things. They can, you know, quote-unquote, imaginary friends. They are much more tuned in. But it's not usually encouraged here, and so they tend to lose it. And the Aboriginal people will tell you that we used to have that ability, and then we decided to start speaking out loud, which is very primitive and very chaotic. They think it's extremely chaotic that we speak out loud. And when we started speaking out loud, we lost this connection to this one consciousness. We couldn't then, we're not as tapped in now, and we lost that muscle, and we couldn't hear the trees singing to us, and we couldn't hear the mountains speaking to each other. I had the opportunity to be in Montana last summer with a lot of the leaders from indigenous cultures all over the world and found it fascinating that they all said the same thing. Mother Earth is our mother. They see the river as our brother, and they can hear the they can hear the mountains talking to each other. I thought that was fascinating. They hadn't lost that. We can get that back. It's just that it's a muscle that we don't usually tune into. And so Gary developed it slowly. He came back from the outback and started, that's what Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening is, when he comes back from the outback, which to me is when it gets really interesting, started developing these abilities, started being telepathic, started communicating to his Aboriginal brothers and sisters in the outback all the way on the other side of the world. It didn't matter. He started communicating to animals, and we describe a number of situations in that, some of them really funny, in our lives, in our daily lives. It took me a while. And imagine this one, Cliff. I married for a year to this man before I realized he's telepathic. That's an interesting
Yeah, that could be interesting when he knows things about you. And it, actually, in your book, he actually there's a couple of excerpts where he actually puts thoughts into your head in a gentle way, which I thought was quite interesting.
I know. It's a gift you have to really honor and respect. But yes, I know. I thought one of them was really funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I finally recognized that when he was wanting an ice cream cone. And he just planted that in my, and you know, shoot, I was a big sugar lover. And so it didn't take much, probably, didn't need much prodding, but I think he planted that idea, let's go for an ice cream cone. And so I remember saying, Gary, let's go get some ice cream. And he's like, great idea, you know. That's when I started waking up. Yeah.
That's so funny. Hey, you know, tell us a little more about what a fifth dimension human is. What does that mean? Does that mean
beautiful.
Of course, they're telepathic, but what else would you say that is it entails? What is that all about?
You know, this is, I liken it to maturing. You know, it's like a teenager who is very self-centered and really looking after just their needs, and now you start waking up to maturing and growing into levels of greater love for yourself and for other people. And that's what is this fifth dimensional existence. First of all, it's a higher vibrational state. Your cells are vibrating, your body is vibrating at a higher rate. And that means it's kind of like an airplane propeller. It's just going faster and faster rather than this dead, slower pace. And that's the other thing, is recognizing certain emotions are going to, and certain cells are going to vibrate higher versus vibrating lower. And when you're vibrating higher, disease really can't sustain in these higher vibrational states like gratitude and forgiveness. And when you're in these higher vibrational states, you have greater clarity. It's easier for you to connect into this one grid, this one consciousness. It's easier for you to get that clarity from inside. You know that everything is one. Everything is one. It's just different facets to it. You are living in a higher state of love. You want to be in service to each other out of love, not what am I going to get. It's love-based, whereas this third dimensional tends to be more fear-based because that's the mind. It's the mind-generated stuff. And that's why we have a lot of greed, a lot of inauthenticity, resentment, guilt. That's mind stuff, and that's what we're shifting away from, moving into these higher vibrational states and way of living. And that's what's actually ultimately going to save the planet, is that we move into this higher state of awakening, higher vibrational states. And when you're in a fifth dimensional thinking, you have such love for each other. There's no way you would do some of the atrocities that are happening right now on the planet. There's no way that you would harm Mother Earth. You would want to give to her. You would want to assist her and help her. You would never disrespect her. You're just living in balance. And that's where, as I understand it, that's where we're heading, and that's actually what's happening. Just slowly, quietly, one by one, we're all kind of waking up a little bit more, moving into these higher vibrational states that take us into this fifth dimensional, beautiful way of living. And I don't know, Cliff, if you've ever been to sometimes I'd go to some of these gatherings with beautiful people who are there to be of service and help the planet and help each other, recognizing that we're all one. And you get into that crowd, and there's so much love emanating off everybody. It's almost like stepping into the fifth dimension right there. You can feel it. It's beautiful.
I know what you're talking about. The thing, though, that I'm curious to hear from you is, would you say that this is a soul-level individual who comes in as an advanced soul, or is it something that, as a child, it's imbued in your system to be this fifth dimensional kind of high resonating individual? I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, because if it's not a developed capacity, then you're talking about a different kind of a human. It's just anything. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think it's actually both. I think that we've come in, and again, remember, this is a soul's journey here to grow. And because
right.
It's free will, you can go through as much pain and struggle as much as you want, but there are easier ways. So we're here to learn to grow into higher levels of love and compassion, higher levels of love-oriented things, patience, kindness, truth. That's what we're here to grow and love and move towards, and that will actually keep getting you into these fifth-dimensional states. And sometimes you may touch into it and then go back into the third, or touch into it and go back down to the fourth, but that's where we're ultimately heading, because that's where the planet is heading. Now, some of them being born, it is beautiful to see they're already there. They're already there. You can see it in the eyes of some of these children, some of these babies. They're coming in already at fourth dimensional existence. They're coming in at fifth. And some of the leaders, you know, that are, you know, like Mandela, I mean, he's already operating at a higher level to have such high levels of forgiveness. Gandhi.
Yeah.
They're already operating at that level, and that's where everybody, and if you're not ready to go there, fine, that's okay, you're just not ready, but it's going to get really uncomfortable to be here hanging out in higher vibrational states if you're vibrating at a lower, dense vibration. It's just really uncomfortable. And that's why a lot of us, also the energies that are hitting the planet, and this is scientifically based, they have shown that we've never had so much energy for the last 25,000, I'm not sure if it's 25,000 years or 26,000 years, what's 1,000 years really, but we have a direct shot to the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and so the electromagnetics hitting the planet haven't been this strong for 25,000 years. You can call it a yuga or whatever, but what that does is that it's like raising vegetables in the middle of summer. It's just perfect. And so right now the vibrations hitting this planet are raising our vibration and helping us to move up into these higher vibrational states. And if you're resistant to it, like you were saying, resisting the love, resisting the energies, it's going to get really uncomfortable. So we're seeing people around us who are resisting making these changes, moving into these higher vibrational states, and it's going to come down to how bad does it have to get before you stop hanging on to these beliefs of the mind or what the mind is just generating, because that's really all it amounts to is it's the mind stuff.
Interesting. I could make a comment about the GOP of America, but I won't go into about resisting. Okay, we won't go there. I this is not a political show. That's somebody else's show. We won't go there.
but you know what? That brings up a great point. So what? Because this is how we make a difference. So I know people get frustrated with a situation, and what you'll notice is that as you push, the other side pushes back. And that doesn't work. You can't fight fear with fear. What does make a difference and why we're here is because when you have higher levels of love, these higher vibrational states of compassion or kindness or truth or patience emanating off of you, because it not just emanates through your body, your whole system, but it emanates off of you, and then that affects the people around you. What we're here to do is to start bringing in higher levels of love, higher levels of these energies. And there's a great study, well, Dr. David Hawking's Power Versus Force, he's written how one person who's emanating at this non-judgmental energy can offset the negating energy of so many more people. It's that love moving over the darkness, moving over the shadow. Love always, the light always overcomes. And so we're not here to add more fear, more energy, God knows, more of that energy. We've got plenty of that. We're here to start adding more love, adding more joy. That's much more helpful to the planet than getting frustrated. Turn off the news and go and find something that's actually bringing a better energy to the planet. It's not going to just heal you. It's going to heal the planet as well.
Interesting. During your visit to the Outback and this Aboriginal group, did they work with you to give you a sense of the fifth dimension? And do you work in those areas occasionally, or are you working in those areas?
Nobody's ever asked me that. Yeah, I do. I do consultations with people. I just tell them, just give me 1 hour, I can change your life, because I work with this beautiful energy. I work with a beautiful team from the other side, spirit guides, angels, whatever, ascended masters, whatever you want to call it, but they're allowing high levels of energy to move through me to the person, and it allows me to give them clarity also on what they've been doing and how to change it, not just awareness of where you've been going wrong, but actually how to flip it. And so when you get into those higher vibrational states, it does move you into the fifth. Now, when we were in the Outback, this was such an interesting experience. The women, the Aboriginal women, wanted to start opening up their healing ceremonies and their ceremonies to the outside world. And the men were quite resistant. They did not want to do that. And rightfully so. I can understand how the white person has always taken a lot from them and not given back, which is why I really want the listeners to understand that this is, we're disclosing their secrets because they asked us to. This was requested of them. But when we went into the women ultimately won out. They knew that they needed to start helping and assisting. It's so interesting how these indigenous cultures are sort of coming out and saying, you know, we need to awaken them and help them. And so they brought in about, I was invited to participate. Now, this happened a year after Gary passed. I was invited to participate in these ceremonies, and it was quite an honor. And there were maybe a dozen or 20 of us, women from all over the world, and I went with a friend here from the States. And we were participating in these ceremonies, and I'm not allowed to disclose what we did in the ceremonies, but I can tell you that it raised me to a higher vibrational state where I could feel we were connected. It's one thing to know it intellectually. It's another thing to actually feel it, to actually feel that we are just one. Everything's sort of melded together. I could actually, and this is described in Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening, I described how I could actually feel the love for Mother Earth. She's our mother, and the Aboriginal people already know that, and they feel it, and so do these other indigenous cultures. But I could actually feel it, and I could feel it from them. And that was really, like, also, again, when I was in Montana last year, it was such another huge wake-up to, wow, we just kind of forget Mother Earth really loves us, supports us, rather than continuing to take, what can we give back? That was another awareness, you know. So that was also something that the Aboriginal people transferred to me through those ceremonies.
Mm. Gary passed away a few years ago, and he sounds like an amazing guy, just reading about him in the book. But in your practice, does he show up in your practice? Do you guys work together still on?
He does. He's part of the team. He is part of the team. I did not know that was going to happen. He passed almost exactly 8 years ago, April 4th. And he came to me a year before he was going to leave and said, now you have to understand, when he came back from the outback, that he was a different man. He had been a scientist, very black and white, and now he came back recognizing there's a lot of gray that exists, whether you can prove it or not. And he was aware then that he had a spirit guide that worked with him, that helped him with the healings. And he would spend, like the Aboriginal people, more than half of his time connected into this grid, unplugging from the mind, which is a good example, or a good thing to do, and then plugging into this grid, this greater consciousness, this higher consciousness. And so he came to me about a year before he passed and said he was being asked to, that he would be leaving in about a year. He would be able to assist more from the other side of the veil. And we were both pretty upset about it, and I described that in the Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening, how we had to come to terms with that, and how he did pass a year later, and that I didn't expect, Cliff, that he would show up every morning after he passed at 8 o'clock. I know, not 8:01 and not 7:59, because he was always a very punctual physicist who married a woman who was not. And so he always showed up at 8 o'clock, except 1 year. And the book describes why he didn't show up one day on time. But he had distinct energy that I could see when he was working on me when he was alive. I could see it, and the book describes that too. And so when he left, after he passed, I could see that distinct energy. And my sister, who got to know him really well, also could see that exact same thing. And I didn't know she was seeing it exactly the same way that I was. And so I asked her to draw it, and she drew it. It's like, oh, my gosh, that's exactly the same thing I'm seeing. So he would show up every morning at 8 o'clock, and he was downloading high levels of this love, high levels of probably whatever I needed, and he still does. We work together now. He's part of my healing team. He works from the other side of the veil, so he's helping gaining clarity. He's helping with sending energy. He's helping. He's always been a tremendously powerful healer. He never liked that term healer. He was always the conduit. He was just always very humble about it. So he's a tremendous conduit, and he still continues to send it through me, and I'm just a conduit.
Does he talk about what it's like in his dimension and his reality now? Did he ever?
We don't have those kind of discussions, but okay. I'll tell you, he's very, it's so funny because he has such strong ways of connecting to me, And when I need his assistance, he loves Pandora, by the way, because they can, it's so easy for them to, all of a sudden a song pops up with the lyrics that it's exactly what you needed to hear. And there's one
song, that's funny.
And there's one song in particular, when we were going to be putting his ashes in the water, I picked out very specifically a song, and I said to my son, we were on a boat on the lake, and I said, okay, just, it's already tuned up, just push play. And he went and pushed play, and a different song came on, and it was that Josh Groban, Wind Beneath My Wings. And I thought, wow. And the more I listened to the lyrics, I'm like, that's the song Gary wanted me to remember him by, and it couldn't have been more perfect. So when I need, especially in the beginning, it was really hard to lose him, and I needed support. I was just going through a lot of grief. All of a sudden, in the background, I'd hear in my head that song would start playing, the lyrics. And now, even now, it's his way of saying hi on Pandora, now that I'm listening to Pandora. That song will just pop in, and it just comes on exactly when I need it most.
So your life has changed dramatically after meeting Gary, being married to him, and now post Gary in his new digs in a different dimension, and working with your healing team, in your own practice. So tell us a little bit. Give us just an idea of how a typical interview/meeting with a new client would be. Do you kind of talk to them and get an idea through scanning? Does your team come in and scan them and say, okay, let's suggest this, suggest that, or tell us a little bit. I'm curious.
Okay. Well, I work with people all over the world, and I just need one single hour with them. That's it. It's not about, they're going to come to me, and I'm going to help them with whatever it is they have. So I tell people, send me an email. It doesn't matter where they are. We do it by phone, sometimes by Skype, but, we just usually do it by phone. Send me an email of all the physical things that you have a problem with. It doesn't matter how long the list is. And then I will meditate, and I want that before our consultation. And then I'll meditate on it and get information from the team as to what the emotional core is so that they suddenly realize, oh, I see, that they don't, our cells are holding stuff, whether we're aware of it or not. So it's not just a matter of what are you creating in the moment, but what are you hanging on to from the past? And so something that may have happened to you when you were very young, maybe you were even 4 and it was incredibly traumatic, or even an abusive husband or something, abandonment, as a child, these things can be really held in the cell and create problems, like Gary discovered. So the team gives me clarity, so then I can tell the person what's going on. And then together, the team and I and the person, we will release this stuff. Because you have to understand that the illness is just a messenger. It's just a messenger. And so you can't really have that illness. It doesn't behoove you to fix it if you don't understand why it's here, or just going to come back again until you make those changes. So I help them understand what they've doing, what they've been doing, and we help release that. And then I also help them discover how to use this incredibly powerful mind, because it's such a powerful tool, but to use it as a tool, not to get caught up in its beliefs and be imprisoned by it, which is really what creates most of the problem. And then also to get higher assistance, higher consciousness on board, rather than the mind being in charge. That creates a big problem as well. So let's get a higher consciousness behind these things in your life that are creating problems. And we do that in an hour. And that's enough for them to understand what they've been doing, how to heal it, and then the team continues to work with them. In fact, they start working with them the minute they have the intention of calling me. It's not like they need to wait until Wednesday at 2. They just have their permission now to start helping them. And so that creates a huge difference and makes now people understand what they've been doing wrong, and they know how to do it the way that's going to create what they want. That's powerful. And what they're doing now is they're adding beautiful energies into their body by, for instance, the fastest healing emotions to have are gratitude and forgiveness. So then they're going to start deliberately, when they can, as they can, start bringing in more gratitude. That's going to heal that body a lot faster. Rather than fighting the cancer, you realize the cancer is just simply here as a messenger. And so they start recognizing where they've been creating the problem. And so that continues then. The team then continues to assist them even beyond the consultation because they have permission. Remember I said it's a free will planet. They can't step in until you ask. Well, now you've asked. And so
that's interesting.
Allowed to assist. Yeah.
So you actually are a distant healer, and you do these consultations. You didn't really, you kind of described the process. So what do you do? Somebody goes through a process, and then you speak to them for 1 hour about what you're picking up, and then it's kind of like the other dimension works with them to kind of complete the process. Is that
right,
how it works?
Right, before, during, and after. And then we'll do a very powerful meditation. Usually the very last 10 minutes, it's so powerful. And I can see energy now. I've developed that. And so I can see how when we do these meditations, and I ask people to do something, no matter where they're at, Philippines, France, New Orleans, it doesn't matter, I can see it. And it's astonishing how powerful they are. They just don't realize it. I'll ask them to call in a certain energy or to do something, and I can see it. It's like, wow, they don't realize how amazingly powerful they are. So these meditations at the end are incredibly healing, and then it's recorded, so then they can listen to it again. They can do the meditation, just the meditation if they want. But now they know how to even do a two-minute meditation that's incredibly healing, that's going to promote healing. So it's my passion, and Gary's as well, is let's help them as much as we can so that they can help themselves and then help each other. So my website, holeswellness.com, has a lot of information up on the blog so that they can get information to help them. We have an online course that they can take so that they really integrate these steps into their life, and we tried to make it really accessible and easy, knowing people have busy lives. We've tried as best we can to make this information affordable and easy. I mean, my rates are so low because I want to help as many people as possible, and I know people get stuck with financial problems when they get sick, so I've deliberately kept it low as long as I can afford with my schedule to do that. So the passion has been to help people wake up to what their minds have been doing to create the problem in the body and to heal it. Because it comes down to, you've always got this peace and bliss and contentment running through you. And when you start moving away from that, and you start moving into this guilt, which is incredibly toxic to the body, and I have been raised Catholic, I have got guilt running on autopilot in the background.
Oh, boy.
So I needed to become aware of that it's very toxic, so that you become aware that it's actually creating problems. So it's like that dashboard on your car starting to blink. If you keep hanging out in enough of that stuff, it becomes a problem for the body. If you continue to do it long enough and you're not releasing it, then now you've got that dashboard lit up all the time, and that's called fibromyalgia or diabetes or whatever. And whereas Western medicine tends to go in and take the bulb out, we want to go back and find out what's really started this, and so that you don't create it again.
Let's take a couple of questions here. Here's an email from Sandy in Phoenix, and she asks, do you work with angels?
Yeah.
That's a very simple question.
Right. Well, I have on my team, and here's the thing. My team will change according to who I'm working with, as will everyone else's. We all have different assistance that comes in depending on what we need. But I know that I have archangels. I know that I have ascended masters. I know that Gary comes in quite often, and I know that sometimes the aboriginals will come in when I'm healing. It just depends. And sometimes loved ones from the client that I'm working with. It just depends who they are and what their needs are. So I don't usually know who's there. I just know that they're giving us the ahas, they're giving us what we need to help them.
Mm-hmm. In the book, I think there's a period where Gary is identifying you're helping support team unseen. Mm-hmm. And I think what one of the figures is a very well known, was it Mother Mary. Mother Mary.
Yes, Divine Mother Mary. Right.
Yeah. Is Mother Mary still with you at the on your team?
Oh, she's my main guide. It's funny because now this is Jesus's mother. This is why I think I needed to be raised Catholic, because I needed to discover that we had this contract that we would be working together, and so I allow her to sort of work through me. Where when I'm speaking, when I'm doing consultations, I allow the words to come through. It's not that I'm channeling. It's just that I allow her to, and we all do, allow me to be the arms to hug the person that needs that hug today. Allow me to smile. Put me next to the person that really needs to see that smile. We all have a spirit guide that works with us from day one, that never leaves our side. You can call it a guardian angel, whatever you want to call it. And then the team comes and goes depending on what you're doing. If you have a child with severe physical problems, you're going to have build a team on the other side of the veil that is going to assist with that. They will come and go depending on what you're doing and what your needs are. And that's why when I'm working and healing people, I don't like to say that I'm healing people. I'm assisting in their healing. I'm just a conduit.
Uh-huh.
But
right.
People will come and the other side will come and go depending on what that person needs. So I never know who's there. And I've always told people, listen, you're the brave one who chose to incarnate on this planet. You're the brave etheric spirit. And so you were always designed to have tremendous help from the other side of the veil. It's not like you've ever been doing this alone. It's just that your human mind thinks that you are. So allow their assistance for more than parking spaces. They are so phenomenal, and they want to help because they're helping in love, being of service. And, of course, I only work with, and I tell everybody else, the highest love and light. I don't work with anything else, and I am protected that way. Archangel Michael helps me so that I never have to, it's not even on my radar. I just know that I'm taken care of the highest love and light, always in the best interest of all. And so you have tremendous help available. I encourage, and there's a lot of information on my blog section on how they work with you, how to recognize their signs, but they can't step in until you ask, but once you ask, then they always respond, and so they're going to want to know, what do you want? And so you have to say, well, I want to heal this. Well, I want to finally find acceptance with this, what my brother-in-law is doing. I want to have high, ridiculous levels of self-love. Tell them what you need, and then allow them. Then let the mind get out of the way and allow them to guide you. They're not going to do your homework, but they'll certainly show you the easier way, the way to do it, the way that's going to be best for you, which is why I'm saying the human mind makes it so much more difficult. It was never designed to know how to do these things, but the soul knows, the higher self knows, this higher consciousness knows, your team knows. Well, then engage that and allow your mind to be part of the support staff rather than in charge. Huge shift.
Do you think that we as physical beings were always meant to be tapped into the other realms for guidance?
Yes, and this is what the Aboriginal people are showing us. We've lost that disconnect, and look what's happened as a result. We've lost that. The human mind has sort of taken over. And it's the answer lies in going back and tapping within. The answers are all within. Everything you need is within. We're just used to, it's just habit, Cliff, it's just habit. We're used to going outside of ourselves for everything, and it's just about creating new habits where you quiet the mind a little bit more often. You stay in the present mind, in the present moment, rather than letting that mind take you off into its fear-based future, guilt of the past. I mean, those are just mind-generated things, and so it's about this mind really getting back into what it was designed to do, not being so out of control and just so much energy given to it, which is why meditation is a great thing. I do it every day now because it's sort of like, for those of us old enough to remember, the records, you know, when you lift the needle, you just lift the needle off that record, that chatty mind for a little while, so it calms down and loses a bit of its power.
Exactly.
You remember albums, don't you?
Yeah, I remember those heavy vinyl things. Yeah. Let me ask you one last question, and then I think we're going to be at our end of our program. The work that you do as a conduit, or I'm going to call you a healer because that's what I believe you are, and your ex-husband, your husband that passed, Gary, was a conduit also. Doing the work that you do with humanity, what do you see our future looking like? What do you think? Is it going to be more pain? I mean, you could maybe say, I see so many people with this chronic illness. This makes me think that we have a problem here, we have a problem there. What can you say to our audience is kind of what we can expect in the future?
I think we're going to wake up slowly and surely, which is what's happening, and wake up from this imprisonment of the mind, because that's really where the problem has been, is we're so connected to this mind and believing what it's offering us. And we're going to wake up to the fact that you're just going to start observing that mind rather than buying into it, which is what's been creating a lot of the problems, is we believe what it tells us and get off into these emotions that are really unhealthy. And I think people are starting to wake up to the mind and the addiction we have to it and its tricks, and start quieting it down more often, start using it as the powerful, beautiful tool that it was designed to be, and start letting that soul, that heart, that higher self have a greater voice. That's what will ultimately save us. And that reconnection to each other again, that's what I see happening slowly around me. And if you look at, again, the little ones coming in, not all of them, but some of them are already there. You can see it in their eyes. They're already operating at this higher consciousness, this higher state of awakening, and they're here to help assist us. So let's pave the way for them, allow them to come in and help with their work too. Yeah. So it comes down to, the answer is always love. It's always love. What would love do? And paying attention to that and shifting it. That's the answer.
Amazing. The book is Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening, and my guest has been Robbie Holtz. Robbie, how can people get a hold of you? What's your a blog or web address that people can look on? I will definitely post it, but I'd like you to go ahead and mention it.
Sure. They can go to holzwellness.com, HOLZ as in zebra, WELLNESS. So it's holzwellness.com. We pronounce that T. That's just a German thing. And there's a free abundance meditation up there, and there's a lot of information for them about both of the books and the online course and consultations and the blog section with a lot of helpful stuff on there.
Fantastic. Oh, I've really enjoyed this conversation with you, and I love the fact that you are continuing the work. And it's—I mean, it's really who you are now. Is this healing work? It's fantastic. I
Yeah,
love
we're
it.
still a
And I'm,
team. Yeah.
yeah, I would think that there's many books coming up. You're probably going to do a book on the different types of people that you've met and their stories or something. I know there's more books coming out somewhere.
I know there's another one coming. Yeah, there is.
All right.
Yeah,
All right.
great.
All right. Thanks
Thanks,
for
Cliff. I
joining me.
really enjoyed talking to you. You've had some interesting questions no one's ever asked before, so thank you.
Well,
I
this is
really enjoyed that.
fascinating.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's our program today, and I want to remind you to always check on the Facebook, Earth Ancients Facebook. I'm in the process of building a website, and it's going to be launched just before the start of summer. So keep an eye on that, and always, as always, check on Facebook, Earth Ancients Facebook, and I'm going to have Robbie's some information on what she has discussed today, and some other material. So be well, have a great day.